The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus went about the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out, to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also known as Peter, his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and cast out demons. You receive without payment, give without payment. Take no gold or silver or copper in your belts, no bag for your money, or no tunics, or sandals or a staff. For laborers deserve their food. Whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it and stay there until you leave. As you enter the house, greet it. If the house is worthy, let peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet as you leave that house or town. Truly I tell you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than that town. See, I am sending you out like sheep into the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of them, for they will hand you over to councils and flog you in the synagogues. And you will be dragged before governors and kings because of me, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. When they hand you over, do not worry about how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you at that time. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of the Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all because of me. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I tell you, you will not have gone through all of the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Good morning, and please be seated.
Good morning.
I am willing to take a wager that many of you, when you listen to this, what's called the Great Commission of Jesus, to send us out into the world to preach the gospel to all people and to different nations and so forth, that we are neither inspired nor excited.
Amen.
Especially after the reading, you know, when you read this stuff, you say to yourself, "I don't want to put myself in such a mess. That is pretty dangerous out there. What am I going to do?" But I think probably what we do feel most is guilt. Guilt that maybe we don't feel like we've been called. Guilt that maybe we haven't felt prepared. Maybe the church hasn't given me the language, the foundation, the sense of freedom and the confidence for me to be able to go in the world and do this. And this is why I wonder, this is something that's difficult for the church to deal with, especially in this time when communication is so easy through internet and all kinds of ways of advertising things that you don't have to put yourself out personally for what you believe. And so I think it's a lack of confidence that may be generating that sense of guilt that we have, because truly we don't see ourselves as missionaries, some of us at least, or we don't see ourselves as people who can go out boldly into the world and proclaim this gospel to people who have never heard it, to people who perhaps might be hostile. But it's because we also don't have a sense of confidence in ourselves. And I wonder if that it may be something that the church can work on a little more as we continue. But I think fundamentally the lack of confidence is something that we all experience in many parts of our own lives. As adults, we're very happy and we feel very comfortable when we do things that we do every day. When we work, the hobbies that we do, the different kinds of social events that we go to, we have a certain sense of confidence because we feel okay. We do it all the day. We have a language for it. We feel very confident. We have a good sense of ourselves. But put us in a different situation where we don't know the rules or we don't know the people or the customs and we feel really weird. Our anxiety goes right through the roof. Just imagine somebody, for instance, who's starting to take a new language or someone who's starting to play a new instrument. Isn't that like the most difficult thing to do, especially when you get older? I mean, when you're a little kid, you don't care if anybody says, boy, you sound horrible. In fifth grade, I took a saxophone. And what I did is I started to play the saxophone. I was designated to the bathroom by my sisters. And that's why I played saxophone. And I played and I played and I played. Even though that I was annoying them, I kept playing because I began to understand and began to feel an affinity with this instrument. And after a while, I thought I started to play a little better. You know, but this is the thing is that we don't feel connected and we don't feel better in what we do because we haven't yet, perhaps, put our faith together with our life. We read this week a very important reading from the book of Falling Upward by Richard Rohr, who says, Christ comes to us in our lives, which means that our lives are the place in which we explore ourselves. Our lives are the place in which we explore God. Our lives are really where we wrestle with the realities of life if indeed we engage them in a way and in an openness that helps us to see this. What we have done perhaps in the church is we have taught us that maybe the singing is important, that maybe the liturgy is important, that maybe the creed and the communion are important, which are all important, but we have forgotten maybe to help you find your own language, your own means of communicating about life and faith, which is essential for us to feel confident. Because if we use the language of the church, we are using somebody else's language and we are merely mimicking somebody else's understanding and perspective. And what we do is we forget it. We cannot resonate with it. It doesn't hit home. It doesn't ring right with us because it's not we who are speaking. And so I think the church should be a place in which you find your voice, a place in which you find a sense of mission in all that you do. Because indeed, God is in our lives, Christ is in everything that we do, and what we need to do is find a way of describing it in the way that is right for us. I find people coming to church sometimes and trying to learn the lingua of the church. Haven't you ever noticed that when you travel to different churches, sometimes people speak the same language. They almost even look alike. It's kind of weird. But to find people that are different in the way they articulate their faith, to find people that use different metaphors, that speak and ask questions that really don't have any connection with what we're talking and are familiar with, but nevertheless reach in for truth, this is something that is original. This is something that is unique. This is something that is refreshing. And so I think as a church, we have to reorient ourselves to look to our lives, to find the Christ in our lives, and to begin to ask questions and speak about things that are important for us. I know a couple of people that are in the religious life, and when I ask them, do you talk to your son or do you talk to your daughter about your religion? They say, no, I can't because they're not religious. They don't believe in that. And I say, do you talk to them about loss? Do you talk to them about love? Do you talk to them about failure? Do you talk to them about dreams? Do you talk to them about the mystery of being alive? The urge to move forward, to figure out where you are in this world? Can you talk about that? And they say, well, I don't know. I don't have the language. And I think we're muted. Most of us are muted because we don't have the ability or the confidence to talk about these things to each other. Why not talk to your daughter and say, how is your marriage? What kinds of things you guys do together that makes it fun? What are the ideals that you're pursuing? Or to your husband or your wife, where are you in your life right now? I know you're getting close to retirement. What are your plans? What do you feel? Do you feel lonely? Do you feel as though you're exhausted? Do you feel like you want to try something new? Why can't we talk to each other in that way? Or when we have an argument, why can't we not give the other person the benefit of the doubt rather than judge them so quickly? And say, what do you mean by what you're saying? I'm not clear as to how you mean that. We need to be able to open up the possibilities for us to see each other in new lights. I mean, we live a prescribed life. We live in bubbles, if you think about it. And what we do is we repeat the things that we hear and that are common to us and that never reveal who we are. And we stay muted and blunted and we feel as though we're alienated from ourselves and each other. And so the gospel, the Great Commission, first, if anything, in the church in particular, has to teach us to be able to speak truth, to speak honestly, to express those things that you have, that long inside of you, that urge you, that move you, that disturb you, the questions that we have, and be able to talk. When was the last time you had a really good conversation with somebody that you walked away and you say, my God, that was so refreshing and that was so fulfilling? Most of us talk because we're functional in our talking. Did you get this done? Is that on schedule? Did you wash the dishes? That kind of stuff. That's how we talk to each other, functionally. We pass each other and there's ships in the night that we never talk to each other. And yet that is a very source of what the gospel is saying, that if you are talking to somebody else, you are grounded and you are experiencing the third reality, which is Christ among us. Because when you talk deep to somebody, you realize a depth and you are refreshed by that experience. And that experience gives you a sense of new perspective in life. And it opens up so many different things for us. What we do is we put the narrative of our experience over and over and over on all the things that we do. Remember the book, Games People Play? I think it was in the 60s or 70s. Eric Burns, we have tapes in our brains, you know? Remember the old tapes? I guess. So remember the old tapes, right? No. When you would press the button and a little thing would spin around and then something would talk out of that little box. We have those kinds of tapes in our head where if something happens, we have our immediate response. Something happens, we have our answer. Something happens, we have our question or we have our disagreement with it. But we're living like automatons. We're just responding from what we think we know, instead of just letting the moment bring us into a new reality. Life is much more than the reality and the experience that we've had. It's always opening fresh opportunities if we listen properly and if we open ourselves properly. That's what the whole gospel is asking us. If you cannot invite somebody to experience Christ unless you're in that dimension yourself, unless you are feeling the love of God and the freedom of God and listening to that person's own language rather than trying to fit them into a language that you're accustomed to. Oh, you ever do that? People travel or people go different places, and what they do is they want the person to speak to you in your language or in the way that you understand, putting the burden on them instead of putting the burden on ourselves to try and figure out why and how do they mean that. That's when I was in the Bureau, I may have said this. A lot of the guys were military, a lot of women were military. And I would tell them, did you guys travel? Oh, yeah. We went to Japan. Oh, yeah. We were in Guatemala. We were all this and this and that. And I said, did you see the country? Did you taste the food? Did you go out and talk to the people? No, we went to the McDonald's on the base. You know, we ate the same stuff. And I said, why didn't you go out and talk to these people? And a lot of them, because they're afraid. Americans are notoriously afraid of being in different waters, in different countries, because they don't know how to adapt. And this is something that we have as a people here, that we have to let go if we're going to try and experience something new. And if you do that, you get a certain swing in you. You get a certain way of being that you can feel comfortable with people. You don't have to be apprehensive or insecure or feel guilty that you don't understand what they're saying. That's the point of having Christ in your life, that you're free of that. That you're free to be able to try the new things and experience the people and the cultures and all of that. And with a confidence that what you are is authentic. Because isn't that the question? Are we authentic or are we not? Are we playing a game and are we playing at life or are we really living the life that we have? And the Great Commission is calling us. If you're going to go out and put yourself on the line, you really better believe that. You really better know what you're talking about and you have to come from that place. If you come from duty or loyalty, you're gonna fail. If you come from some kind of expectation, you're going to fail. But if you come because it's your way of being, and you get it, you love it, it makes sense, then you can do it. And then you know what? You're convincing. Remember when Jesus spoke to his people? He said, my God, he speaks with power and authority that no scribe or prophet ever spoke. You know why? Because he had his stuff together. Okay? He spoke with what we call personal power. From experience, from real engagement. This is what the goal of the gospel is. Not to make you like anybody else. Not to make you a carbon copy of anybody else. It's to free you to be yourself. My God, when you go back to God, he's going to say, why weren't you you? Because I was trying to be like Abraham. I was trying to be like Jacob, you know. Ruth was a good model. I tried to be like her. But it's not going to work. Because you're going to be a phony all your life. See, the gospel puts life squarely on your shoulders. The responsibility of being squarely on you. And we have to take that. And we have to live that out. And in doing that, you'll find the joys and the challenges and the meanings that you won't get anywhere else. Many people live life safely because they're too afraid to step out of their square box. If you're going to be commissioned by God to go and preach the word, that is what you want to give people, the freedom to be them. You don't want to encase them. You don't want to imprison them in some doctrine or some ancient creed that doesn't make sense. You want to free them in the spirit and let God lead them, not you. Can you help people find their way? Can you be a sage? Can you be a mentor? Can you be a coach? Can you be like somebody that lifts another person because you want them to succeed? Can you love for the sake of them? This is what the gospel is about. The other. Not just you, the other. Lift up the other and you will be lifted up. Love the other and you will find the love. Care for the world and the world will love you back. That's the gospel. That's the commission. And that's what we feel guilty. We feel inequipped and incapable of doing it because the church hasn't told you enough that you have everything you already have to need to do it. And you just have to stand up on your own feet and on your own ground and in your own experience and be able to speak that with the confidence that God will give you through the Holy Spirit. So, I don't know if you're still excited about this commission or not. Amen. About going out and doing something that's kind of different. Why not just go out and be the person that you are? Why not go out and be the mother that you are, the father you are, the professional that you are, and do it with all of who you are? Let people say, you know, there's something very nice about this person. You know, there's something very convincing. Are you a convincing individual? Can people believe that you are who you are? Or are you just answering and blurbing and saying things that we all learn on TV and try to impress each other with? And we all know that we each know where we got it from. Isn't that the challenge of our lives, to find that? To be moving from a place where you just routinely react to a celebration of the holy dance of living with each other and yourself? I think that's the challenge, and that's a great commission. Until you get there, you will be too scared to leave. You'll stay stuck in the house. You'll stay close to your place. You'll stay with those who love you, that think like you, that believe like you, that understand just like you. And you'll never leave home. One of the greatest things in the journey of the hero or the heroine is that they leave home. They leave home and they go out for an adventure. And they have trouble. And they have challenges. And they have issues that they have. And they have obstacles. But they overcome them. And you know what? They come back home wiser and more experienced and deeper in their insight than when they left. Because they experienced life. Now they come back home. And now home is where they belonged. And they give something back. And that is the experience that they've gained in living a life that is worthwhile. That's what the commission is. Go, teach. But don't go just as a messenger. Go as the Christ. Go as the Christ himself. And that's a wonderful experience in being free, maybe for the first time. Amen.